Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I would take Cam Newton. And the reason I would do that is because I abhor spending all my money on one spot.
I think that we will be able to see a dynasty coming out of Kansas City.
Dale Arnold.
Baseball, how do we make it better? And you're going to do it through miking players, access. The Kardashians have taught us more's more.
What now? I was great socially at a party one time. Like...
Rich Keefe.
The Hawks. The Washington Red Tails. Mirror match. So what you do, your big rival is the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. So you are now the Washington Cowboys.
Leading contender for the replacement name is the Warriors.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
Oh, my reading combo is very good.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Jermaine Wiggins is in the house, as he always is on Wednesdays. We're broadcasting live from our Shaw's and Star Market studios in Brighton and in Bellingham. A quick note before we go back to talk about Kansas City here. Within the last few minutes, we got confirmation out of the MLS bubble in Orlando. 9 players on the Nashville team have confirmed positive. I have a feeling within the next hour or so, this is going to be the second team in the MLS tournament that's supposed to start tonight. This is going to be the second team that's going to be sent home. Word from the bubble down there is that the Toronto team doctor fought until the very end for his team to stay home. He believes the tournament is unsafe for players. So Nashville has 9 positive tests. This is on the heels of another team that's already been
How many
sent
people
home.
On a team on a Major League Soccer? Why can't they just continue to play with the
25,
other guys?
20 maybe? I mean, obviously 11 on the field. I don't know right, how many right. the rest of you got. But.
So that's what, 20?
Because what was the number for FC Dallas? Did they get to 10 and then they shut it down?
They were at 10.
I think they were at 10.
So you can't say these 9 guys ain't playing. We'll put it the rest of
They might be better off. If you take 2 teams out, I wonder if the schedule would be easier because then that way you have an even number.
I'm not
number
sure
again.
That's what they had in mind, but yeah, it may work out that way. Yeah. So I have a feeling, and look, the bubble concept in Orlando, as you guys know, has made me a little queasy for a while now. You're taking these teams to the hottest spot in America, basically. I mean, short of sending them to Arizona or Texas, Florida's the hottest spot you can send them. You had the problem with the Women's Soccer League where an entire team basically became infected because they had to go hit the club. Now the MLS bubble has got 2 teams that have basically had half their roster show up positive. And now the NBA team started arriving here within the last 24 hours. I think the Celtics, when do they do down there? Tomorrow, I think?
That sounds right.
And you wonder.
So these MLS guys, did they get tested when they got there and they got it? Or did they get it while they were there? Do we know?
It's a good question, and I don't know the answer.
Yeah, because I wonder if some of them, because, you know, now the testing is ramping up. Because you guys are about to play, and you get it,
but
you're like,
isn't that making
a big difference?
Isn't it isn't when you say 9 players test positive, right, instantly, what do they do? Oh, they were down in Florida. They probably went to the club. But unless we know that these 9 players were already there and they potentially went out, if they flew in from other parts of the country, then – you know, maybe the bubble's safe, but they had already gotten it before they even got to the bubble.
Mm-hmm. Here's an MLS reporter tweeting, said, "Here," and I'm quoting now, "hearing from a player in the bubble, the MLS bubble, that their team is supposed to be quarantined since they got a positive test. But there's no one delivering meals to their room, which is supposed to be the protocol. So they have to go down to get the meal, get on elevators, bring the meal back, telling other players, be careful with the surfaces and use extra hand sanitizer. We were supposed to go there and just think about soccer. Now we have all this problem. How are we going to play thinking that is dangerous to go outside your room? What are our families going to think with all this? This is a player who's there. Diego Rubio tweeted this out, and he's saying, you know, he plays for Colorado. So players who are positive are supposed to be quarantined, but nobody brings them food. So they say, well, I got to eat.
Yeah.
So they're getting in the elevator, going down to the meal room.
Yeah, that just seems like a mess.
Well,
you would hope
really
the NBA and the NHL would do better than
that.
Well,
you would think that they would, right? You would
quarantine's think, a quarantine. Like,
right, but you would think that based on the financial element of the league, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't the WNBA having some issues as well with where they're staying, right? So if you, like Adam Silver, when we saw some of these pitches, it's like, dude, you can't have somebody deliver them a meal off of, let's say, room service, a burger, whatever it may be, leave it outside and knock on the door and say, hey, your meal's here and you bring it in. You know, the person could then bring it in. So it's the way that they have to handle these situations, and there's better ways of doing it.
And this is the part that Adam Silver spoke about yesterday, that they knew they were going to have players test positive before they got there. And they have, and that was part of the plan. He made the point, and I think MLS is proving it here. It's when you get in the bubble and you start getting teams testing a lot, then you've got a leak somewhere, and that's what the problem's going to be. And it's, I understand. Look, I thought going to Orlando was a perfect idea. I thought it was great. You know, you're at Disney. You can seal off the roads. You can do the hotels and everything. And then you stuck it down in the hottest spot in America for this, with hospitals reaching ICU capacity and all that
stuff. But we don't know if these people from this one team tested positive because they were down there or if they tested positive prior to them getting there.
Right. Yeah, we don't know if they got it from there.
Right, so they mean,
like, did FC Dallas bring it with them or
right,
what?
Did they bring it with them? So we don't really know. So I don't really think it matters about the place that you're at if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing to make sure that this place is secure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think you have to realize that you're going to have situations, whether or not you're in a bubble type setting or you're in your home setting, because guys are going to do things. They're going to come, or whether they just come in contact with somebody who works in the bubble who happened to go out, and that's how it kind of spreads. If you're telling me that it spreads so easily, are they never coming in contact with the people that are working there? That's what I would ask. Are these guys never coming in contact? Are they basically the only people that they're seeing are their coaches and their teammates?
Well, and you asked that question early on. I thought it was the perfect question, where the NHL has said when they're going to do 2,000 tests a day, it's bus drivers, it's hotel staff, it's meal staff. They're testing everybody every single day, coaches, trainers, players, and anybody who comes in contact with those. It's obvious MLS didn't do that.
No.
We've wondered about, is the NBA going to do that?
But the MLS, we know financially they don't have probably the money to do that, right? So, I mean,
they probably shouldn't be in Orlando trying to do this.
It's all going to come down to the money situation, right? How much money can you afford as a league to do these things?
Because the NBA, they said they're spending like $1.5 million a day for all this stuff. I can't imagine the MLS is doing that. I can't imagine the WNBA is doing that.
So what kind of hotel are we staying in?
Right.
Where are we staying at? You know what I mean? It's one thing to go, okay, NBA players, we're all staying at the Hyatt or the Four Seasons.
But it's also, you know, the NBA had like a 100-page protocol list, right, or whatever. And as long as you're following those, maybe you have a better chance. I don't know if the MLS had a 100-page protocol. I don't know if they figured out how to get food to guys who, like, once you're quarantined, it can't just be, forget about that person. Like, you have to obviously check in with that person. I don't know if they're getting the follow-up tests. Like, that's what the NBA has said, too.
Right.
Because there was one player, I forget who it was negative. He took three tests in a matter of a few days, and he was negative, positive, then negative again. So, like, they're still trying to, you know, figure out how all that works.
We'll try to keep you updated as the afternoon goes on, but the tests about Nashville literally just came down, and they're up to 9 already. So, back to our football discussion, and what kind of kicked this off for us, at least, her little snippet of it in the open, was Tom E. Curran, who was on NBC Sports Boston last night. He was appearing with our buddy Michael Holly, and Michael asked Tom a question, and his answer piqued our interest.
If you're Bill Belichick, Curran, would you take
Cam Newton at the veterans minimum, or you take Patrick Mahomes for the next 12 years? You got him for a dozen years, Curran. What would you do?
I would take Cam Newton. And the reason I would do that is because I abhor spending all my money on one spot.
I think that's insane.
Yeah,
I think that's insane. Nuts. I think by saying on one spot, you're kind of de-emphasizing the fact that it is the most important spot. You're not spending all your money on a left guard or an outside linebacker.
Fullback.
You're spending all of your money, and that's also overstated. You're not spending all of your money, but you are spending a good part of your cap.
18.75%, according to Andrew Brandt.
For the best, and that's not even this year, right? Like, it's not 18.7 every single year. Like, it's not like the cap didn't even go up. Like, he signs this crazy deal. I think next year it goes up like 30 grand or whatever. But he is the best player in all of football at the most important position, and he's 24 years old. So this is not a contract you could give to any starting quarterback or any even Pro Bowl quarterback, but you can, and I would, give it to this quarterback.
Right.
And as much as I like Cam Newton for 1 year, I'll take Patrick Mahomes for 12 at $500 million every time.
Now here's the better question, and I was thinking about this as you were saying what you were saying. If you ask that exact same question of Bill Belichick and gave him truth serum and he had to tell you the truth, what would he say?
He'd probably say, give me Patrick Mahomes for 12 years.
I
don't think he would.
He might say Newton because I think he feels like he could coach up. Because he's not saying, hey, give me a crap quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's just saying, give me a good quarterback, and then this way I can spend more money on my special teamers, which I love to do.
And doesn't he seem to have the same economic outlook as Tommy Curran? He does not want to tie up 18.75% of his salary cap, even in the quarterback position.
It's a good question, though, because if you went back to Tom Brady, and let's say in 07, right? So he's already won 3 Super Bowls. Uh-huh. He's already been league MVP.
Right.
And that was the only way to keep him. I wonder what you do. Now, I guess it's a little bit different because he wasn't 24 years old at the time and that stuff.
Right. And so you're asking,
it's hard to have the perfect analogy because how many guys were 24 and a Super Bowl champion and a league MVP? I don't think very many.
And I think it's about the player, too. And yeah. I think Bill probably looks at Patrick Mahomes as being one of those kind of like transcending world players that you just never had. If you would ask Bill Belichick, hey, Bill, would you give Lawrence Taylor an 8-year or 5-year, you know, Aaron Donald type deal? You don't think he would say yes?
Yeah, I mean, he's made guys the highest paid player at their positions before.
Right, and so, if there are certain guys that he looks at that go, okay, this guy is a real, real difference maker,
right,
he's worth it. And I think when you look at Patrick Mahomes, he's a difference maker.
100%. Yeah, I would do
it. There's no doubt about what kind of player.
So he would.
But does Belichick want to tie up that much of his salary cap on even on a great player? I mean, he had the best quarterback in football for all those years and didn't want to tie up as much of it.
But I think he knew that the best quarterback's personality wasn't to tie up that type of money, right? If Brady had the mentality of Patrick Mahomes and says, I want top dollar, you don't think Belichick does it?
Yeah, you might have to.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously we're all speculating here because Belichick's never going to share this stuff. I don't know if Brady, we all thought that if Brady had demanded to be the top paid player in the game, that they would have to cave. And we all think Robert Kraft would have. I'm not sure Belichick would.
Stephon Gilmore, gave a ton of money to play corner. His cap hit is through the roof this year, but guess what? He's the best cornerback in the league, and he's worth it.
And I don't even think people thought at the time he signed that deal he was the best corner.
No, I don't think he was the best. No, he wasn't.
Right,
he wasn't
the
best
then,
but he paid him like he was.
Right, so to this whole narrative of Bill wouldn't do that, if Bill knows that he had, in the Patrick Mahomes case, you know you have the best corner or the best quarterback.
Yeah.
Right, with Tom Brady, you might known, okay, I got the best quarterback in the league, and he wants top market value. I got to give it to him.
Yeah, you may have talked me into that because I think what happens is so many teams get themselves into trouble because they draft a quarterback high, they develop them, and then when time's up, they say, you know what? I don't think we can do better than this, or it's going to be very difficult for us to find a better quarterback. And that's why Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, Matt Ryan, go down the line. These guys have gotten huge paydays from their teams, even Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
And you're saying, yeah, you're kind of stuck now because you're paying a lot because he's your quarterback and you don't want to have to look for another one, but he's not the best. You know, Tom Curran yesterday on our show brought up the example of when the Ravens gave all that money to Joe Flacco. But my God, like, you couldn't be more different, Joe Flacco and Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Even
right.
after Flacco won the Super Bowl, nobody thought he was going to consistently be this great quarterback. That was like the joke, remember? Like, mm-hmm. is Joe Flacco elite? Like, that was like this thing that's still being discussed now because you knew that he wasn't. And Patrick Mahomes, you know that he is. So this is really a question just for Mahomes. It's not, hey, let's pay a guy this percentage of our salary cap, or let's pay our young quarterback this much money. No, no, no. It's would you pay Patrick Mahomes? And I think maybe Belichick would. Nobody else, but maybe him.
He paid Adalius Thomas.
He did.
Yeah, but not the top paid guy in the game.
But I think at the time when he signed Adalius Thomas, it was one of like.
But he's had a time where, you know, not that they were eating up 18% of the salary cap, but he had the highest paid guard, the highest paid D tackle, the highest paid middle linebacker, the highest paid safety, the highest paid quarterback, although only for a year. You know, it could have been many more, but in one of the highest paid corners.
I don't remember when Adalius Thomas signed his deal. Wasn't that the highest paid deal for...
He might have been the highest paid linebacker. Might have been.
At that time, right?
Bill also has like a weird obsession with defensive players.
Okay, so, but you'd have to ask Bill this. You'd have to say, what do you think of Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback? And if he feels like Patrick Mahomes is on a whole nother level, like he has an obsession with Lawrence Taylor, then I think he pays that guy.
I don't know, but that one may be a little far for anybody.
But if that's his mindset.
And the premise here is he thinks Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the game. I mean, that's the game we're playing here. He's not the Lawrence Taylor of quarterbacks.
If he thinks he's the best quarterback in the game, then he pays him as the best quarterback in the game. The same way he did with Stephon Gilmore, same way he did with Adalius Thomas,
He only paid Brady as the best quarterback in the game 1 year.
But I also think, because Brady didn't command it, so it never really got to that point where he had to. Right. And I think he had a line in the sand for Brady this year.
We don't think Mahomes did that this year, did he? He didn't demand it. He didn't.
Well,
I mean,
do we know that for a fact?
No. Yeah. But apparently, this was something the Chiefs were pursuing based on what I've been reading out of Kansas City.
But I also think his agent was pretty thrilled
with
it, too.
Right.
You could also make him the highest paid quarterback in the league without paying him $45 million a year.
So
the
what's
next
that?
Closest
so,
guy's 35.
So
that's
what
a
is
$10 million a year difference?
So what does that tell you? It tells you that he had a number, right? It tells you that in order for us to keep Patrick Mahomes, we got to get to his number. If Tom Brady said during his time here in New England, goes, "Hey, Bill, my number's $35 million. You want me? Get it." Right?
Yeah, but they wouldn't give him a 10-year contract. It would be 3 or 4 years.
No, but if Brady
was 24 and had the resume already that Mahomes did,
I don't think he'd give any player 12 years.
Football lives in a 4-year cycle.
So
always.
you don't think after year 2 he would have gave LT 10 years?
LT, yeah, maybe LT.
Wait, like I said, Belichick
has a weird obsession with defensive players.
Well, that's what we're talking about with Mahomes, though.
I don't think he would have done it with Mahomes.
I'm not even sure he would do it with LT. I mean, he thinks LT's the greatest football player who ever lived, I think.
What about Ed Reed?
I don't think he would give anybody 12 years. I mean, two that existed plus 10 more.
Probably right.
He understands that football has a life cycle of like a 4 or 5 year span, and then you have to hit the reset button on a lot of things.
But that's certain
contracts
positions.
Get overpaid.
Certain positions. He knows now in football.
He just saw a quarterback play 20 years for him.
Right. So he knows, and when you think about all of the, you know, top-notch quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, these guys, you know, they're giving you 10 years. They're giving you 10
seems
years.
Like, oh, yeah.
So,
I think part of it, too, for Belichick is, all right, maybe you don't want to give him 12 years, but if the alternative is you're looking for another quarterback again, don't you have to give in a little bit?
When you think about it now, right, and I think what Patrick Mahomes has done for the next guy who...
Dak Prescott.
But even Dak's a little bit older, right? So Dak's...
Oh, you mean the next young... Well, Deshaun Watson?
Let's say Lamar Jackson, for example.
Okay.
Let's say Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, right? These guys ball out another couple of years, get him. Now, don't you think they look and go...
Yeah, they are, but the team should be smart. It's just like in baseball when teams say, "Hey, look what Mike Trout got." And you say, "Yeah, but you're not Mike Trout."
No, you are not Mike Trout.
You are not Patrick Mahomes.
Not that you're getting that type of money, but the length of the deal.
Yeah, you have more.
If Lamar Jackson wins a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, he is going to get more money than Patrick Mahomes.
No, he's not.
No,
yes,
he
is.
No, he's not.
No, he won't.
If he wins the Super Bowl, he'll have the exact same resume.
No,
and
no,
he's younger.
It's about the player. Shime,
you're the only guy who thinks Lamar Jackson is better than Patrick
Mahomes. I'm not saying he's better than Patrick Mahomes. I'm saying that by doing this, you are now
inflating the
quarterback
market. What is this? Can you explain the music to me, John? I'm on board with it, but what is it?
His idiot tuba music.
The Shime tuba
music. Oh, Shime tuba music?
Well, it was originally the Mike Lombardi tuba music, okay. But we never used it.
So when he has a garbage take... When the village idiot comes to town for his garbage take on Lamar Jackson.
No, so if Lamar Jackson wins a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, he has the exact same resume as Patrick Mahomes. MVP in a Super Bowl by the time he's 25.
Okay.
He's going to get more money.
24.
Patrick Mahomes is 25. I'm looking at it right now.
Patrick Mahomes is... Oh, well, this season was 24, though.
Yes.
So
right now...
Mahomes has been in the league for 3 years. This upcoming season is Jackson's third year. So he would have to win the Super Bowl this year.
If Jackson wins the Super Bowl this year, that contract he's going to get is going to be more than Patrick Mahomes.
No, I don't think so.
He has the exact same resume.
He has the exact same resume, but it's a different style.
His style of play is not as sustainable. Right. There's no way he can play for 12 years like that.
No
Mahomes
way.
Could. Mahomes, there's a chance.
Mahomes could.
Jackson, no way in hell.
Based on the way we've seen Mahomes play, we know Mahomes can get you 12, 15 years at that type of level, right? Because you look at Aaron Rodgers. He's very similar to Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers, Wilson, they mobile, but they don't run all the time.
Right, and Aaron Rodgers has been in the league, almost 14 years?
Lamar Jackson's going to have more of like a running back's career where like the number of hits he's
even
taken.
Even if it's only a four-year contract, he's going to get $45 million a year is what I'm saying.
Okay, different arguments.
I'm not saying 12 years he's not getting.
No, he's not going to get the 12 years. Okay.
I don't even think he gets $45 million.
Yes, he does.
No,
if he wins a Super Bowl next year, Lamar Jackson's going to get $50
million. But what if
there's
no fans?
There's no way he gets $50 million. There's no way. No,
look at what Patrick Mahomes just got. One of his cap hits is $59 million in a year.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll happen.
Right, but,
I think that'll get thrown out.
I think the difference is with Patrick Mahomes is the ceiling for Mahomes is so much greater than Lamar Jackson. That's the way he's getting paid, right? Like, Lamar Jackson...
Is it, though?
Yeah, Mahomes could
over a four-year span, is Mahomes' ceiling that much higher than Lamar Jackson?
Yes,
it is.
Because
I disagree.
Because we know
in 4 years,
we know.
Yeah, 4 years.
We know that Patrick Mahomes threw for 53 touchdowns that 1 year. He threw for 50 touchdowns.
50 touchdowns.
We know that he could be a guy that could throw 40 plus touchdowns every year for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Lamar Jackson just threw 36 touchdowns and ran in 8 more.
Right, but he's not throwing 36 every single year, and he's not running in that many more for the next 5, 6 years because his style of play is he ultimately, unless he just says, you know what, I'm going to start sliding, but his style of play is more conducive with a guy like Michael Vick who's going to take more hits, even though they are great athletes. So he'll never statistically be on the same level as Patrick Mahomes when you start to project what type of player this guy could be.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. I have a feeling that the giant pea has been cast from the top of the building to the cloud cover above our building there in Brighton, and Pandering Man may be ready to make an appearance. It's Dale and Keith with Wiggy. You wondered what that pea was about.
Curious.
Yeah,
curious.
I know. It's Dale and Keith with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
It's Dale and Keith with Jermaine Wiggins.
Stand by.
On WEEI.
Previously on the adventures of Pandering Man.
You and Pandering Man are going to be upset with this one.
Me?
Pandering Man's catchphrase, manipulating the minds of all mankind. I know Pandering Man right now is just in his, is it a lair? Is that what they call it?
A lair?
It's a laird.
A laird? And then you have to read into it a little bit because Pandering Man's not going to like this one. If opting for the hybrid learning model that schools split students into two groups that alternate days and times.
Your other reading comprehension has not been strong.
No, my reading comprehension is very good. Or multiple kids at home by themselves. See, Pandering Man doesn't see that because in his lair, he has no kids.
Lair.
Whatever it is.
One of those.
Well, he's striking again.
Pandering Man's back? Is that true?
He is back.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's back, and he's stronger, and he might be bigger than ever.
Could be.
Manipulating the minds of all mankind, Pandering Man. Now, I don't know if you saw this. I go to my guy when I want my coronavirus information.
Who's your guy? Fauci?
Nope. Unfortunately, it's not Fauci because he's all over the place. One guy I can at least say is consistent.
Yeah.
Clay Travis.
Got it.
Oh, yeah. This is the guy you want to follow.
Consistent.
Backed into a corner.
Yes.
Pandering Man uses an anecdote he heard on Fox News.
So I guess what Clay Travis says, this is the headline that Pandering Man is now pushing in the media. This is the media's new headline. And this was in the Bloomberg, right?
This was in Bloomberg.
Lower COVID-19 death rate is nothing to celebrate. So we don't, Pandering Man does not want us to celebrate the low death rates that we are having.
Notice how both Clay Travis and Pandering Man left out the body of what the article said.
Pandering Man.
No, that's what you're doing.
Pandering Man is your guy.
No, the article is the Pandering Man.
Yes, yes.
And now, Pandering Man comes face to face with his arch rival, Dale Arnold.
No, Pandering Man
is Dale Arnold.
This is all twisted around. This is all twisted. This is in the new universe.
You're saying so there's less deaths, but let's not get excited about that.
Here comes Pandering Man. Let's not get excited about that.
Yes.
We are now seeing here's another one Pandering Man swooped in for, right?
Yes.
Division 3 Nest
Camp. Well, can I ask a quick question here, Wiggy, of you and Clay, I guess.
Yes.
Your buddy here. So when Dr. Fauci said yesterday almost exactly what Bloomberg said.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad too, right? What in other words?
Have you heard what he thinks about Fauci? Have you paid attention? Wiggy's not on board with Fauci.
Fauci's all over the place.
But listen, is this fair? So if the death rate is lower, I'm not saying throw a parade because first of all, you wouldn't want to do that anyway.
Right.
But I'm not saying but can't you do like a little fist pump? Like isn't that? Can't you celebrate just a little bit? Can't you a little bit?
You can, but then that's when Pandering Man says, swoops in,
smacks
in,
not and so goes, fast, my friend.
Hold on.
He Lee Corso's
I think what Dr. Fauci said yesterday when he was asked about this, and they banished him today. The Coronavirus Task Force is holding a press conference right now. They wouldn't let Fauci be there.
He needs to rest his voice.
They literally said, no. You're
Does
not
anybody
going.
Trust Fauci the whole thing? About,
yes.
Really. Who trusts Fauci?
Pandering Man.
Pandering Man
trusts them.
Besides Pandering Man. Right.
So anyway, what he said yesterday was the recent spikes we're seeing, death rates lag behind by a couple of weeks. Now, if 2 weeks from now you tell me that the death rate is still down,
okay,
then you got something to argue about, or in Clay Travis's case, celebrate about.
Well, we will see because we know based on Florida and what they've been done. Because there are two states that we only focus on, Florida and Texas. So we know the deaths in Florida average for the 7 day have been around 48, right? So I would say that's a relatively low number.
But isn't the death rate decline, hasn't it been 10 straight weeks?
Yes, it has been 10 straight weeks.
Okay.
But Pandering Man doesn't want you to see that because we're not focused on the death.
Look over here!
Yes.
Pandering Man thinks wearing a mask is an infringement on his constitutional rights.
No, that's just the opposite.
No.
Forget these jobs.
I don't know who made these.
Yes.
None of these are right. These are the opposite. This would be somebody else altogether.
Pandering Man.
I'm turning Pandering Man into a far-right caricature.
No, you're... That's not what it is. That's not what it was based
Pandering
on.
Pandering Man is very upset
Pandering
with NASCAR.
You got to understand.
No. He's
got these exact opposites.
They're all wrong.
Of what they're supposed to be.
They're all wrong. Pandering Man would say wear a mask like in your house.
Right.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the one you've gotten so far that's good.
That's the one line you can use. Poor Bill Smith recorded all this stuff. He's probably like, this doesn't make sense.
Right.
Pandering Man wouldn't do all this stuff. This is the opposite. This is like Bizarro Pandering Man. His arch nemesis, Bizarro Pandering Man. Or reverse Pandering Man.
Or opposite Superman. And Superman.
Yeah, Bizarro.
Was that three?
Yeah, Bizarro.
Yeah. Right. So Pandering Man is. Anytime we get good news on coronavirus.
Oh, not so fast, my friend.
Not so fast, Pandering Man.
Not so fast.
And also, Pandering Man jumped in again.
Okay.
Well, first off.
Don't play any more cuss, John, because they don't reply.
Yes. Well, here's what I would say. Yeah. One place that's doing relatively good with the coronavirus is Georgia.
Georgia?
Georgia has been open for a while now.
Wiggy, have you seen the most recent stuff?
I have the stuff right here in front of me.
This is a game changer.
The mayor of Atlanta tested positive yesterday and her whole family.
Yes, she did.
She has ordered masks now mandatory in the city of Atlanta.
As far as the spike, though, she had tested positive. Now, she has done. Georgia, yesterday, their average deaths for the 7 day is 13. Yesterday, they jumped up a little bit. They had 2,600, almost 2,700 new cases. But the day before that, they had 1,500. So they're seeing
That's because of the holiday weekend, Wiggy. It takes a couple days to catch up.
See, here's what Pandering Man says.
when Pandering Man brings facts to the table, it's easy for Wiggy to just rebuff it by saying, oh, you're just pandering.
When do we
didn't know that until the last 24 hours.
You know
when
what that
do
means?
We get to look?
Game changer.
When are the, okay, so here's what I would ask Pandering Man.
Yeah.
When do the numbers actually count? So do I got to wait 2 more weeks?
Well, it depends on which number. You seem fixated on the mortality number.
Yeah, well, that's what everybody's told me was the most important thing, right?
No, not everybody.
Well, Pandering Man can switch to something else. Pandering Man can adapt. That's the one thing about Pandering Man.
That is
Pandering
true.
Man can move goalposts.
Yes, he is. Yeah. So it's not the debts no more. So
no,
it's
whatever number is high. Find that one and latch on to.
And the last thing
sink
that
your
I,
teeth into
and
it.
I think you, Rich, you would like this one.
Okay.
This is the last thing that Pandering Man swooped in on and,
right.
and had to pull out his mind manipulation and jump in the mind.
Spend in black device.
Now, you played college football.
Yes, I did.
At the highest level.
Yes, I did.
Where did you play?
I played at Hobart. Division yeah. 3.
And, okay, you'll like this.
Yes.
Division 3.
Yes.
NESCAC, right?
Yes, the NESCAC.
Right?
They NESCAC.
No,
NESCAC.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I don't know NESCAC.
Yeah. Andy Hart played the NESCAC.
Right, so here's Division III. Looks like it's going to be spring football.
Spring football.
Sources. No chance we have a fall season. Another source says, NESCAC.
NESCAC.
President has already voted to move the football season to the spring. He's just waiting for the NCAA to approve it.
Interesting.
So Pandering Man got to the president of NESCAC football.
Yep. So why is that? Because they should have played? Because Wiggy said they should have played?
No, but why wouldn't you play?
It's a tradition as old as time.
Well,
football in the fall.
We had the athletic director from Bowdoin, one of the NESCAC schools.
Yes.
Pandering Man got to him. Yeah, yeah. So if they did their study and said, we can only safely house 675 students on campus in the fall, that's why we can't have football. That's just pandering.
I'd say, show me the numbers.
Right. I'd say, let me see these numbers. It says you
open
can
your
only,
books.
Only house.
So you're calling the athletic director at Bowdoin College a liar?
No, I would
no,
just
call him Pandering Man.
Pandering Man. I'd say you somebody manipulated the athletic
who
director.
Who got to you?
Who got to you?
Who got to
and
you?
And there's only one superhero who
could do it.
That could do it. Yep. We all know who that is. Somebody
That's
put
right.
the P up in Bowdoin and said, wait a second, get to
flew
and Harry comes in and all yeah. of a sudden, boom, Bowdoin. Division III football for all those kids.
Well, Wiggy, Pandering Man's going to be very busy then because this is just the tip of the iceberg. I told you that when Bowdoin made its announcement.
See?
Harvard has made its announcement. The Ivy League is moving their games. The Patriot League is moving their games. And I got news for you, Wiggy. It's going to go further.
I
think Colby, a lot further.
Colby versus Bates in the middle of January is going to be pretty cold.
And see, what I don't
know. Good luck.
See, and I'd ask Pandering Man this question.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You're moving all of these football things, and I wasn't relatively I didn't really know about NESCAC, so
yeah.
I had to kind of, you know, do a little
research.
Yeah,
it's like New England
small college athletic conference.
That's right.
Oh, I think I just said that.
But from what I've heard, New England
yes.
and Massachusetts
yes.
have done really great with
done
the coronavirus.
Well. Done pretty well.
So why would you, if you're a New England, you know, league conference, why would you then
because
need a move?
Because unlike these idiotic states down south, they don't think you can just haul everybody back into campus and open the doors like Wiggy's been advocating for, because then the numbers are going to go back through the roof again.
So then, if I'm wrong, so I guess maybe then Pandering Man will shut down all schools in New England.
Yes.
All colleges.
I think that the chances of colleges in New England opening up with students on campus in September is almost nil.
Except for Harvard. They only let freshmen on.
Well, I mean, a percentage. Having a full complement of students back on campus in the fall, almost none.
So why can't you have
if the football guys.
If you're having some kids on campus.
Why is that fair?
Why is it not? You got to pick
some
kids.
So the football kids should be back on campus, but the kids who are studying to be doctors shouldn't be, right?
Yeah, sure.
Based right. on what?
What? Because they're playing in the fall. And guess what? When they're allowed to go in the spring, the football kids can go home and the doctors can come in.
Pandering what? Man.
How is that unfair?
I guess the whole idea that somehow Harvard football players mean more than pre-meds at Harvard is a little
baffling. Okay, Dale, how come they can't go in the spring then? How come they can't do it at home in the spring?
do what in the spring? Wait,
huh? How come they can't be at home in the spring? Football players can be there in the fall. Your doctors or whoever can learn at home during the fall and then show up in the spring. How is that unfair?
Except the doctors need the whole year.
Ooh. So the now they get to go the whole year.
So they get the special
football players don't.
At Harvard, who do you think's more important, the doctoral candidates?
I thought they were all the same.
Right.
I guess not. I guess Dale's kind of prioritizing
Harvard,
them.
Harvard football?
No. So doctors can go there the full year. How do you know there's not some doctor football players?
Oh, we've seen that before.
I'm going to say there's probably few, but it's possible.
Really? Well, there's a kid from
Ivy League. You think Ivy League football players can't be doctors?
No, I said there's few. Like, I said few.
The kid from Florida State was
and it's not like
doctor.
So how many kids are going to be allowed to go to Harvard, and how many kids are even on the football team?
Well,
so if you say, hey, those 100 are part of it.
It's 40% supposedly they'll allow. Well, I'm saying they will allow 40% of the student body on campus.
Okay, so it's not that hard to say fall sport athletes are prioritized.
It's
so
not even just football players.
No,
but
why are athletes prioritized?
Well, because they can't play their sport in the spring. They play it in the fall, so you get to go there.
So here's what we're going to do.
Pretty simple, actually.
Here's what we're going to do, Pandering Man, so we can hopefully make this work. Who plays in the fall? I believe it's soccer.
Yep.
Football.
Field hockey.
Right?
And probably some other things, but
probably
those are the main ones.
Right. I don't know when.
Cross country.
Well, whatever, right? Yep. So, hey, you guys are going to come back for the fall.
Right.
You'll have your season.
And then the spring,
and then
you're
in the
home.
Spring.
It's an easy way to decide
in the spring,
it.
You guys will go home, and then we'll allow
everybody else who didn't make it.
We'll allow the spring students plus the spring athletes to go in the
simple.
See, that sounds like an SEC kind of a Pac-12 kind of ruling. I don't think that's the kind of ruling you get from the Ivy League or NESCAC or the Patriot League, because they don't put the emphasis on sports that you do.
They put it on doctors.
Yes, exactly.
So some kids aren't going to be there at all, and some kids are going to be there the whole time in your scenario?
I read it the other day about how Harvard was going to do it. And I can't remember exactly about it was supposed that first-year students are going to be on campus at Bowdoin, at Harvard. You know, kids who are starting out their college careers are going to be there. And then at Harvard, I think it's like freshmen, sophomores, and seniors in the fall semester. And then it's like freshmen, juniors, and some seniors in the spring, something like
that. But what works?
Right, so it's easy enough to do with the football
players. What would make the most sense, right? We know Harvard, and we know these other schools in Bowdoin and in NESCAC. We know they all have fall sports seasons, right?
Yes.
So what would make the most sense so we don't have to alter seasons, we don't have to change things
up?
We ran
out of Pandering Man music.
Well, Pandering Man, he don't like that, right? So what would make the most sense? Hey, we can have some kids back on students campus, so here's what we'll do. We're going to have the fall athletes, and then whatever we got left over, we'll, you know, figure out who those students may be. And then
Because schools like Harvard and Bowdoin don't put the emphasis on athletics that you do.
So then why even have sports teams?
They offer it as something to add to their student body and to their campus life, but it's not like Georgia, where, you know, athletics mean a little more than it does at Harvard.
Well, I mean, how's it? Now, I'm not sure. I think I saw a documentary on the SEC Network about football.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, Harvard, Yale, some of these schools, like, they were the founding fathers of football. College football.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they put the same emphasis that the SEC schools do.
Well, if I think your references would probably be pretty good if you were one of the founding fathers of football.
Come on. When was the last time you went to a Harvard Yale game?
Doesn't it do pretty
Never?
Good?
Oh yeah, it's a popular game.
Right,
very popular game.
Have you ever been?
The biggest rivalry.
I mean, personally, but I haven't been to
one of the great rivalries of our time. It's called the game. Actually,
I haven't been to Michigan versus Notre Dame. So
you must not be a fan.
Right, just because I've never went to that. All I'm saying is that there must
except
be.
Michigan Notre Dame isn't in your backyard.
Well,
Harvard Yale is every other year. You don't go to see it.
He doesn't live in Cambridge.
I haven't gone to BC or whoever their rival is.
Yeah.
Rivals.
Do they have one?
I don't know.
Yeah, Northeastern.
But I guess the,
not anymore.
I guess the point that I'm only making is that your football is a part of Harvard. It's a part of Yale. It's a part of these schools, and they're as well as the other sports that are in the fall. I don't want to keep anybody out, boys and girls.
Right.
So it's very simple. You think the smartest people come from these schools. At least that's what they tell me.
They should be able to figure it out.
You just say, all right, we're going to let our fall athletes go to school.
Right.
And whatever. And then guess what? Everybody else can come back.
And then they
go
home when they're done.
Well, unlike the SEC student athletes, who are there mainly to be athletes and less to be students, at Harvard, the student athletes are there to be students first and athletes second.
Well, guess what? They get to take advantage of both of them. Well, so why should they have some of these sports taken from them or moved and not really, it's the same way. They're losing that experience. Hey, I want to go to Harvard because of the education,
right.
But I also want to go there because
it's
I'm
kind of the primary reason they go to Harvard.
No,
they don't go there to play football.
But they love the football element that comes with it.
Absolutely.
So you shouldn't take that, or you shouldn't diminish them. Why should I look at a Division III player differently than I look at a player who goes to Georgia? I don't view them differently.
We're all equal.
Panda Man views them differently.
Sure, Panda Man does.
Yeah, sure they are. Football player at Georgia, the same as a football player at Harvard.
Yeah.
Or Bowdoin.
Yeah, I would say
or Hobart.
So. Right. Mm-hmm. They love playing football.
Across the board.
They do. They do love it.
And they put their body on the line, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the diff? Nothing. I always ask that. I've been to Division III football games, and I've been to Division I football games. The hitting's still
the same.
They're
out there smacking each other in the head.
Oh, wait, but at Division III, they say, let's not hit each other. We're D3.
Oh, that's true. It's flag.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Dale.
How do you fix chemistry?
It's Keith.
Pizza party.
With Wiggy.
You got to learn how to, like, finagle the bagel and go to back door.
On WEEI.
So, Monday, I guess it was, when we were on the air, we talked about the fact that the Washington football team was in all likelihood going to change the nickname of the team. And I made my own pitch, and Wiggy bought it.
I love the Red Tails.
I love the whole idea of it, honoring the Tuskegee Airmen. I tweeted out a picture of, you know, what a proposed uniform would look like, and we're all in, right, Wig? We love this.
I'm on board for the Red Tails.
I like my chameleon idea, but
I did start off the Hawks, and I'm like, you know, once I saw the Red Tails, I was like, all right, and what they represent, I'm like, all right, I'm on board.
Yep.
Unfortunately, Wig, we may not be prevailing in this whole thing. Kevin Sheehan of the Team 980. Now, is this, help me out here, John, is this the radio station that the Redskins own? They do own their own station down there.
I'm unaware of that. All I know is that this dude has a separate show from his radio career that is on a WordPress blog, and that is where this audio is from.
WordPress?
Yep, WordPress blog.
So, wow. Because I think you can get a podcast going through the WordPress blog. I think you can.
Yeah, that's where I found this.
That's right. So this is a podcast.
Or whatever. It's a WordPress podcast.
Yeah. So this guy he works at the Team 980, but apparently he didn't think this was a good enough scoop to take to his employer.
Took it to WordPress.
Got to save this for the WordPress board.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this is what he said about the proposed change of the nickname.
I've had multiple conversations with people today. They feel they're close enough to the situation. Dan, by the way, is out of the country on his yacht. People with close enough to the situation believe very strongly that the name's going to change. I also have it on pretty good authority that the leading contender for the replacement name is the Warriors.
Stinks.
DC Warriors?
Stinks.
The Washington Warriors.
Washington Warriors.
Trash name.
So they're a basketball team?
You're not even the best Warriors in sports.
Right. I don't think you can use a name that's already in existence.
Yeah, pick another name.
Like if another professional sports team, regardless, I don't like that.
I don't like a lot of that either. I mean, there's some that, you know, the Giants are historic for both sides, and they're like long. But still, I don't really
like
it either.
There's enough
choices out there.
Right.
Pick something else.
Right.
Warriors stinks. The Washington Warriors.
Yeah.
So bland.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah, you already got the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
It's like, no.
You'll never be the best Warriors.
Yeah, right. You come up with your own
thing. Do they just like the alliteration of it? Because that's dumb, too.
That's a Channel 7 thing.
There's so many other options still better than Warriors.
Like the Warlocks.
So Wiggy, I just tweeted out.
We can't do the Wizards.
The Wizards, they already did that.
You already have
better Wizards.
You have a team in
Washington.
You can't do two Wizards in the same city.
Right.
So I just tweeted out what somebody says is a concept for the rebrand of the Washington Warriors.
All right, I'm going to check it out.
It's nowhere near as good as what you and I saw.
Oh, hell no.
They look like Central Michigan.
No, you know.
Do yourself a favor. Look up the Central Michigan uniforms. This is what that is.
Central Michigan, or if you want.
They're the Chippewas, by the way.
Or if you want to look up the.
This looks like the Minnesota.
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Yeah. It does a little bit like them as well. Yep.
Or even maybe Arizona State Sun Devils.
These are gross.
Yeah,
this is just somebody who's proposing this as rebrand.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, no, take that and turn sideways.
I'm disappointed.
I'm on the Red Tails. Red Tails got my vote.
I love Warlocks. The Red Tails concept. No, they're not doing
Warlocks. It's a male witch.
Which is exactly why they're not going to do it.
It's better than Warriors, though. We can all agree.
I would agree with that. No, I'm with you there.
Shai, you want to name them the Whalers? Is there a lot of whaling done in the District of Columbia?
Because now it's like, wait a second. They stole the name from the Hartford Whalers. You can't do that.
What about the Whigs? As sort of a nod to the Whig Party from years ago. It's political.
Yeah, I don't think
the Washington Whigs. And everybody brings their favorite Whig?
No.
Probably not.
I did on Friday night. My wife and I did watch Hamilton.
Oh, yeah?
Disney Plus. Oh.
Is that a movie or is it a TV show?
Well, they took the Broadway play.
They did the whole Broadway play and filmed it over a couple of different nights so they could splice in different. It's brilliant.
Is it the hip hop one? Is it still the rap?
I have zero interest.
Yeah, I don't have any interest at all.
So good.
I loved it.
My niece loves it, so I've heard all the songs, and like I hate each one. I hate it.
I actually went out and bought the soundtrack this weekend. I liked it so much.
Would it be like if they decided to do a hip hop version of Romeo and Juliet? Is that all it kind of is?
What kind of? Well, except this
Romeo and Juliet
was a Shakespearean play.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
this is like a written as like a history of
yeah, Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote this whole thing based on the book. So there wasn't a play to begin with.
But it's based off of like something.
History.
It's based off of. I want to say Alexander Hamilton. Would that be
attaboy. Well done, Wig.
Go with your gut, Wiggy. You had it. Go with it.
I'm kind of like, you know, like, listen.
It's about Lewis Hamilton, the F1 driver.
I didn't know.
It's about Josh Hamilton. It's kind of a bumpy ride. So
now, if you said it's about Anthony Hamilton, the R&B singer, I could be like, okay, even Rip
Hamilton. The original Phantom of the Opera, Rip Hamilton.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not really, like, hip to the version, what Hamilton represents.
That's pretty clear.
So, like, so it's just a hip-hop version of that? Like I said, it's a hip-hop version of a play or
that's why I think a lot of people like it.
It's 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Slog.
And virtually zero dialogue. It just goes song to song. And Lin-Manuel Miranda is brilliant. He's, like, the eighth best performer in this thing, but he wrote it all.
Right.
You know, he wrote the book, he wrote the songs, he wrote the lyrics. But, I mean, other performers are much... Leslie Odom is unbelievable as Aaron Burr.
The guy from Mindhunter plays King George.
And when he steps on stage,
he's one of the voices in Frozen as well. When he steps on stage with his... He is an incredible actor.
So, basically, if I had to, like, you know, if I was gonna watch it and I like this movie, it would be the hip-hop version... of a kind of like...
Better than Sweeney Todd the Demon.
No, but we're taking...
Sweeney Todd isn't like a real character.
Right, but
this
is real.
So take a version of somebody who existed in time, and then their Broadway play. So it's a musical, right? Because they're singing. Right.
All
this just happens to be more like a hip-hop version.
About a person, okay.
Yeah. Like take the movie Lincoln and turn it into a Broadway musical.
There you go.
Okay.
And have Abe Lincoln rap.
Right. And have it all hip hop
I would not watch that. That sounds so boring. Why would I?
Once we figured out what we're talking about, I don't want to do that.
I'm out on that. So we're taking the Abe Lincoln story and we're just doing it in hip hop.
You're selling it short, man. It is so good.
I know, but what's good about it?
It's the music is great.
So it's just
very clever.
The story, very clever.
I mean, they left out Alexander Hamilton's hand in genocide, but you know we can go past that.
They skipped over that, huh?
Should we cancel? Thomas Jefferson, maybe my favorite character in the whole thing. You know, they left out the whole slave owning thing for the most part.
You got one pregnant too.
Although they did have his 14-year-old wife in it at one point.
They did,
boy. All they did was say her name and not address the fact that she's 14.
It was a different time, is it safe to say?
So it's a play of, you know, a person in history. Except
they also have a full-grown man playing Alexander Hamilton's 9-year-old son.
And they just rap, and everything is they're rapping.
Yep.
Oh, so is Aaron Burr the villain? Well, more than rap, but.
I would assume that
Alexander Hamilton. Yes,
he'd be on the list.
Yeah,
there
I'm
are
good.
Others, but
it doesn't. Appeal
to me.
That doesn't pique my interest at all.
Yeah,
I don't find now that I know like what it is. I always thought it was just like a play that they did in like you know hip hop version where they would just use dancing and rapping and you know all that kind of stuff. I'm like, what's so cool about that? I'd rather go to a Drake show or I'd rather go actually
hear some real rappers.
This guy puts Drake to shame.
Really?
Come on.
Drake is the highest selling rapper of all time.
That's a take that needs a 180 for tomorrow.
I'm talking about the creativity. Yeah. I'm not a Drake fan to begin with, but the creativity, the brilliance of the lyrics and the music.
Come on, Drake, guys. If Marvin Thrum doesn't make you cry, you've never listened to music.
Drake, if I wanted some real rap, I'd go to a Fort Minor concert.
You know what? So I'm watching a guy. What did he do, first off?
Alexander Hamilton?
Yes, explain to me.
Made the banking system.
He basically invented the banking system in the U.S.
So now I'm watching hip-hop about a guy who made the banking system.
Yes. Yeah, you're not selling it. You're not selling it.
Well, he did.
Don't put your money under the mattress. I got a better idea. I'm not an actress. You take that money. I got this building. We call it a bank. Oh, thank you for coming through. You want a cup of coffee? Is that what I'm getting?
Well, now here comes Bonnie and Clyde. They're going to rob me. We're screwed. We're going to put up a partition now. Explain to me interest. How do I get more money if I put my bank?
So basically, we're taking everything.
Yeah.
We could do this with anything. Like, you brought up Bonnie and Clyde. We could do the hip-hop version of Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more interested.
Although, based on what I just heard, I'm not sure how that's going to go for you.
I don't know.
You can combine the two. It's a shared universe. This guy's inventing banks. They're robbing banks. There you go.
I mean, I don't know. Boom. You know, when we're talking about, when was this in the, 1800s?
No, before that.
17?
17.
Late 1700s.
Okay, so, I mean.
You got to go a ways back.
Right, if you're going to do that, let me have Jay-Z playing Hamilton, Drake, or give me some real hip-hop artists.
Lin-Manuel Miranda puts Drake to shame. I'm just saying, Wiggy, he's better than Drake. Not as a singer, but as a writer.
Drake probably made more money.
Probably. Although, I don't know. Hamilton made a crap ton of money.
Drake is the highest selling rap artist of all time.
That doesn't mean he's good.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, he also was a ghostwriter, too. He doesn't even write it himself. Oh, Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote three and a half, all of this himself.
Oh, man, I need a real hip-hop artist here. This guy ain't no real hip-hop.
A real hip-hop artist. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keith with our music critic, Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.